Praise God. It's good to be back. I know that feeling of the, like a little bit physically tired, but still kind of buzzing and feeling refreshed in the spirit. Was anyone not here for the Friday, Saturday conference? Anyone not here? Cool, a few people. Most were? Awesome. Yeah, we certainly pray that you plug into what's been happening over the last few days. It's been phenomenal. Chelsea and I have been just totally blessed by you guys. We love local church. We're so grateful for this church. We love you guys so much. This is our second year, so it's a real privilege to be back here again. I'm going to invite my wife Chelsea up for a moment. I'm going to also invite Chris and Jess to come up. And the reason I haven't actually told them I'm going to do this, I like putting them on the spot. So many of you have heard from Chelsea, but we're also, and for some you might have heard from Chris and Jess, that interning for us as part of Awakening Australia and our local church in Fire Church as well. They're from the Central Coast in New South Wales. Speaking of beautiful climate, they are making a little bit of a sacrifice to live in a very beautiful part of the country there on the Central Coast. So, yeah, yes, there's a few people that know it well. So we might get you to come up and we might just flow in the spirit a little bit. I'm going to ask them to release some prophetic words, maybe words of knowledge, words of encouragement for people here. It could be for individuals or it could be like a general prophetic word that you can grab a hold of for yourself. Does that sound all right? All right, so why don't you guys come up? Let's give them a round of applause as they come up. Awesome. We're just going to wait on the Spirit a little bit. So why don't you just close your eyes if you want, or just let's just go back into that place of adoration, worship. And I want to encourage you to open up your hearts and just get ready to receive for what the Lord may have for you this morning through this type of ministry, this supernatural ministry. It's the gifts of the Spirit in operation. The Apostle Paul talked about it in when he was teaching the Corinthian church in particular. You see it right through the Bible, but you see the encouragement of the use of the gifts. Paul said to covet or earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, and he describes it as being the manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So you can't see the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit is kind of like the evidence of the Spirit present. Jael described in like the Hebrew word for Spirit is wind and breath. So you can't see the breath, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. For example, the trees are blowing, or you can feel it. It's something that can't be seen with a natural eye, but it's certainly something that's tangible. And it's the same with the Spirit. The Spirit of God. A lot of people say, I'll believe God when I see it. Well, you can't see God necessarily in the natural right now, but you can certainly experience God, and His presence is absolutely here and tangible. And so the gifts of the Spirit are certainly a part of that. So I'm going to just hand to Chelsea first. And
feel as a local church and everyone that is planted in this house, I see fire in your footsteps wherever you're walking, even as you're just going about your daily business. I just see the fire of heaven just being imparted all over the city and all over the streets and all in every area, every place in this community. And I see when unbelievers and those that don't know the Lord, even though they don't realize it's a spiritual thing, you're spiritually putting fire into these places, that they are having actual encounters with God. They are they're experiencing the love of God. It's a spiritual thing where we put our foot is holy ground. And so I really feel like God says to the church here in Murupna that you are making such a difference, that the enemy tries to blindside you to make you think that you're not, you know, really getting where and you're just in a little country town. But I tell you, God is going to send people from out of this place to impact nations. That this is not a small thing that God's planted here. This is not a byproduct in a, you know, forgotten little town in the middle of nowhere. But I see great ministries being birthed out of this place and shooting fire. You know, I see running fire all over the earth, all over the nations. And so God would just honor you guys for your faithfulness and your loyalness and your commitment to the local church. And, you know, when it's been good times, hard times, easy times, you know, that you have stood fast. And I just see such an increase coming over this house and over your people. And what you're doing is very significant to the Lord. He just says, thank you. I feel like there's people in here as well that their supernatural or just their strength in their body has been drained. I don't know. There is a medical term for that where just everything that you're doing is just, it's a real effort. You know, I want to pray for that person after, whoever that is. I just feel like it's just such an effort to just go about daily life physically. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Is that you? Yeah. Do you want to stand up? It's okay. God reveals things. So I don't know that, but the Lord knows that, and He wants to help you. So can we just all stretch our hands out to this beautiful lady? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. God, and we just come against this heaviness over her. God, in the name of Jesus, we just speak supernatural strength. Lord God, we just come against the plan of the enemy over her life, God, and we rip that heaviness off her right now in the name of Jesus. God, we just infuse supernatural strength to every cell of her body, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. God, touch her right now, God. Touch her right now, Holy Spirit. Touch her right now, so the Lord will knock supernatural energy, God, that those who wait along upon the Lord will not grow weary, but they will run and not walk. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Right now, God, recharge your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I feel like God was saying that, you know, He really loves that you guys are actually a family. That it's not just that the pastors say from the stage, we're a family. It's not just a nice sentiment. It's you guys actually support each other. You're actually in this together. And that's what makes you strong, that God sees that and He appreciates it. He loves it. That's His heart, is that He wants to not only be family with you, but for you guys to be family with each other. And He says that you guys do that well. I just want to encourage you to continue supporting each other, continue being each other's rock. Because that's what makes you strong. It means that whatever comes, it doesn't matter, because you guys will have each other. And that is actually really attractive to the community as well. That family, it means that people want to be loved. That's what they're looking for. And they will see that here. And then they will come and they will see Jesus as well. And that's what's going to draw them in as well.
Yeah, so I just wanted to pray for some healing. I felt, I saw two things. One of them I saw yesterday, and then I just got a fresh one then. But I thought, does anyone have, maybe they've woken up this weekend with like an earache in their left ear? Or if it's the right one, I'm not going to. Yeah? Yeah, could you just stand up, please? Yeah. And the other thing I saw is I saw like a glowing red esophagus. So maybe it's a heartburn or something. If you're struggling with something to do with your esophagus, I feel like maybe it's heartburn. Is that anyone? Yeah? No worries. So if I can get everyone to just stretch your hands out. If you're around them, lay hands. We've got to pray, you know, because Jesus didn't put us on lay-by. He paid it in full. So thank you, Father. This has to go. Thank you, Jesus, for complete healing. I command that earache to go in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank Father for healing, release over that esophagus. It must leave any condition. Go in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blood.
Awesome. Just stay here for a sec. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I might just have someone. I just feel here there's something happening here. With the gentleman with the earache, can we just have someone that just actually place their hand on his ear? So it was the left ear. That's awesome. Isn't God cool the way he... What's the odds of that? I mean, you can say that's, you know, it's a fluke, but we've been seeing this a lot lately. It's not... You can't just keep getting it right and fluking it. It's God. He really does talk. He really still is alive. He really did leave the grave. And he really did rise again on the third day, and he's still doing miracles. Isn't that beautiful that this is not dead religion, that this is alive. This is a lively faith. This is exciting. It's an adventure to be a Christian. Praise God. All right, so you can grab your seat. And Chris, I feel like that I want to ask you again. This time, Chris has got a very strong prophetic anointing that's developing. So I want to just ask you just to wait on God a little bit. I feel like you're going to have a specific word for an individual as well.
Sure. All right, Holy Spirit, light him up. Oh, come on. Thank you, Jesus. You, sir, could I get you to stand up, please? Yeah. Sorry, what's your name?
Steve.
Steve? Awesome, Steve. I don't know what he's going to say yet. you're the one that lit up. Thank you, Jesus, for Steve. Thank you, Father. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I see. I don't really know what this means, but like, I pictured like storehouses being filled up. Kind of like I don't know what you call them. I'm not a farm person, but maybe a barn kind of thing, but storehouse being filled up. But I think that's just relates to, I don't sense that just relates to financial blessing, but I feel like there's like a something to do with legacy there, something to do with raising other people up, you know, having an impact on other people, like a real father figure, you know. And you release that wisdom and you part that into other men, other young men, raising them up. And I see that. I just saw you walking into heaven, and it's like God greeting you and saying, your storehouses have been full. We've got the seed here raised up into full-on bread of life. So I just bless that over you. I thank you, Father. Bless the people that he sows into, and bring more, Lord, more people. Extend this godly man's influence in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Yeah. As you said, storehouse, I also was reminded of Malachi. And I can see by your action that that was a very significant word for you. But I also, as you said, storehouse, I was reminded of the passage in Malachi where it talks about bringing the tithes and offerings into the storehouse. And it just reminds me of, that's a picture of faithfulness and good stewardship with finance. And I feel like that's on your life. There was a man named Cornelius in the New Testament. He was a man of prayer and of generosity as well. And as a result, his generosity and his faithfulness and his prayer went up as a memorial before God. And he actually stepped into an open heaven. What followed was phenomenal. There was a revival that broke out amongst the Gentiles for the first time, and it stemmed back to the prayers and the generosity of Cornelius. And I see that's on your life as well. That as you continue to be generous and faithful, that there's like an open heaven that's going to open up around your life, and God's going to continue to pour out on you in many different ways, not just financially, but many different ways as well. And his whole family got rocked by the Holy Spirit as a result of that faithfulness too. So I think there's something in that storehouse picture that you had, Chris. So let's give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. So I want to give away another CD. You guys now probably understand a little more about the significance of the arrow and the prophetic picture on the cover. So who hasn't got one yet? All right, here we go. Considering you drew some arrows on your prophetic painting, there you go. I think we've still got a few more in the foyer if anyone else wants them as well. So praise God. Well, I love outreach. I love massive events. I love the Billy Graham, the Franklin Graham meetings that JL was involved with recently. I love what's happening around the world. I have the great privilege of intimately being a part of these ecumenical evangelistic gatherings, and we genuinely are seeing revival across Europe. We're certainly on the edge of revival across Europe, And I really believe that Australia is beginning to get lit up as well in the same fashion and in the same manner. I love all that stuff, but there's one thing that, to be honest, I could say I love a little, even a little more, and that is the local church. To me, if we're all going out and we're reaching the lost, it's amazing, and we're running these huge events, it's amazing. We're seeing thousands of people get saved, it's amazing. I never want to play that down, that I'm lit up every time I think about that. But the local church, the importance of the local church to support that is so important. In fact, it's the events really, it's an arm of the local church. The evangelistic ministry is an arm of the local church. And if we want to see people discipled and see people grow in God, it's not just a matter of reaching them, but we also want to see them plugged in and planted in the local church. So Chelsea and I, we've been brought up loving local church, particularly the last 15 years. We're so grateful for the local church. I know I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for the local church, if it wasn't for the local pastor that came to my house when mum and dad didn't know what to do. I was crazy, messed up on drugs, involved in all sorts of involved with all sorts of messed up people, crime, gangs, the nightclub scene, the music industry. It's a very, very dark place, and I got really, really mixed up with some demonic stuff, and to the point where I could easily be dead right now, or in prison, or just on the street somewhere, homeless. My mind was just so distorted and messed up, and if it wasn't for the prayers of the local pastor, my mum and dad didn't know what to do. They reached out to a local pastor named Frank Clancy. And he has been ministering now for about, he's 70, but he got saved when he was 40. So he's been ministering now for about 30 years. He's an ex-Vietnam vet. As tough as they come, God got a hold of him. He was an alcoholic after he come back from Vietnam and messed up. God got a hold of him. And he's just one of those genuine people that you might not see on the cover of the Charisma magazine, but he'll have a red carpet in heaven because he's just constantly at it. He's he goes to the indigenous communities regularly up north, ministers to some of the most broken people in the world, comes back, goes again, comes back. And then when he's back, he doesn't tell everyone or make a big show, but he's ministering to the single mums and helping people out, buying people groceries and shopping and just doing really amazing things. He goes out onto the streets, ministers to the most broken people, and I'm really grateful for him and for his local church, particularly in 2003. He was praying for me. I didn't know he was praying. I was messed up. And he was actually going around my house when I wasn't home and breaking things off in the spirit, like that good old-fashioned Pentecostal stuff. And it's because of his Jesus, and I didn't know that was going on, but God was reaching out to me in the midst of my darkness because of his prayers and because of my mum and dad's prayer. And I ended up hearing the voice of God on a three-day bender. Has anyone heard, know what a bender is? It's an Aussie term for 3 days of partying straight with no sleep. And in the midst of that, I heard the voice of God, and it literally shook me. And God said, if you're ever going to get out of this, you need to go back to church. Because mum and dad were in church for a period of time. And so I did know God as a child to a degree. The word was planted in my heart, but some bad things happened. Mum and dad left church, and they regret that now. They're back in church, praise God. But when they left church and our family left church, it was like spiritual suicide for us as a family. And hell hit our family big time. And they might have even said that they're still Christian, but they weren't living like Christians anymore. I certainly wasn't. And I went down a really, really dark track. And so that experience has, and now my life now as a Christian, that experience has really helped me understand the importance of the local church. And we need to be planted in the local church, plugged into the local church, love the local church. The local church is not going to be perfect. No church is. Have a read of the Bible. Jesus is correcting most of the churches in Revelation he's bringing correction to. None of them are perfect. The Corinthian church, they had crazy stuff going on, but Jesus didn't give up on the church. Paul didn't give up on the church. Continued to love them and write to them and encourage them and bless them. And so no church is perfect, but we need the church. Church is not man's idea. It's not just something that we made up. It's not just some loose gathering either. It's God's idea. It's family, but it's also an army, and it has leaders, and it has proper authorities and ordained authorities. And it's a really important thing that God has established. And so I want to encourage all of us to really, if we're going to see revival in this region, we have to love the local church. We need to understand church is not just this gathering. This is a very important aspect of the church, of course, the Sunday gathering. This is actually the Lord's Day on the Hebrew calendar, the Sunday. It's not something that Constantine made up and changed. It's actually on the Hebrew calendar, the Sunday was the day they were in the upper room. John in Revelation said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So the Lord's Day is very important, this weekly gathering. They met on a weekly basis in the book of Acts. They took communion together on a weekly basis. They took up the collection on a weekly basis. All of these things that we do are biblical, and it's important for the success, and we want to see the local church flourish. It's really important. So anyway, getting back to Frank Clancy, he's praying around my house. God speaks to me in the midst of a bender. I hear the voice of God say, if you're ever going to get out of this, you need to go back to church. I decide to walk to what I thought was a random church. And there are hundreds of churches in our region. And guess what random church I walked into? Frank Clancy's church. The guy that was praying around my house. No coincidence. And I ended up encountering God in that meeting. 2003 rocked my world, and I fell in love with the church from that point. So for me, the church helped me really stay out of hell, and has really kept me alive. And now I'm married. All our kids have been raised up now in church, and I can't wait to have grandkids come up in church as well. I want to encourage you, keep your kids in church, bring them up in church, teach them the things of God, particularly in these last days. Things are getting crazy. There's a lot of deception around. There's a lot of twisted things, temptation out there in the world. And we can't keep our family in a bubble, but we can certainly help raise them up in the things of God. Amen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I said that church is not man's idea. Church is God's idea. I want to encourage you that that certainly is the case as we read Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So let me just quickly go to my Bible app. I've got on my Bible app, I've got a program called eSword, and it gives me the ability to look at the original language. So Hebrew in the Old Testament and the Koine Greek language in the New Testament. Koine, or like another way to say that, is the old school Greek language. So if you speak modern Greek, it has some similarities, but it's the old Greek language, which is the original language that you find. And of course, the English is the translation from the original. So Matthew 16, 18, as I said last night, I'm a word guy. I love the word. I love the prophetic and the signs and wonders, and that was fun last night. It was really cool. But I really love the word. I love it. So let's have a look at this. Matthew 16, 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter. Now that word Peter, his name in the original language is Petros, and his name literally means small rock or piece of rock. Okay, so it's Petros. So this is actually Jesus is using like his name. It's a play on words. You'll discover that if you have a look. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, little rock, and upon this rock, and that word in the Koine Greek is a similar word to Petros, but it's Petra. Anyone heard the band Petra? The old rock band? They were groundbreakers. Come on, Petra. I was in Holland speaking to some music people and had all these Petra posters up, and I was asking heaps of questions about their old gigs they used to do, is to hand out Bibles and That was awesome. It was cool. Anyway, so Petra, they got their name from this. It means big rock. So Petros means little rock, and that's Peter. And Petra means big rock. So Jesus is saying, Peter, little rock, piece of rock, he said, upon this rock, referring to himself, large rock, he said, I will build my church. So, of course, we know that Jesus is also described as the chief cornerstone. We also know he's the rock of all ages. We build our house on not the sand, but we build a house on the rock. Amen? That's Jesus. And to do that, really, we need to be word people. We should all be word people because Jesus is the word. In John 1, it says, in the beginning, the word was with God and the word was God. And then in verse 14, a little later on in that chapter, it says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know that's Jesus. So Jesus is the word. So that's why we should love the word. Amen. When we're reading the word, we're actually fellowshipping directly with Jesus. So also I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, big rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the church is not man's idea. It wasn't Peter's idea. It's Jesus, the idea of God himself, Jesus. And it's built on the foundation of not Peter necessarily, although he's one of the founding stones along with the 12 apostles. But it's built on Jesus himself. And Jesus is the head of the church. That's why we need to esteem the church highly. We need to love the local church. If you love Jesus, then you have to love the church. And the church is also described as his bride. So if you put the church down and give the church a hard time, you're actually giving the bride of Jesus a hard time. He's not going to be happy about that. I don't know about you guys, but if you guys were starting to say stuff about my wife, we'd probably have a little chat outside. I'm not going to be real happy about it. Amen? So we need to be careful when we're talking about the church. There's no problems with having constructive criticism because we want to grow and we want to get better. And the church is not perfect, but we need to really honor and esteem the church in our hearts. Amen? So there's a couple of other things that it mentions here. It says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that's important to understand. The gates of hell shall not prevail. That doesn't mean that the gates of hell won't try to prevail. We are in a spiritual war, and the enemy is going to attack the church more than anything, so we need to be aware of that. Amen? But together, we are strong. What do you say to the person next to you? Together, we're strong. And we're better together. Why don't you say that as well? That one rhymes. We're better together. Man, I've still got that song in my head. I'm a red hot arrow in the hand of the Lord. You guys should do a song. If you do, I want to sing that one. That's awesome. You should turn that into a song. Glory to God. All right. Some of you that weren't here, like, what are you talking about? Red hot arrow? Red hot arrows in the hand of the Lord. Come on, bro. Jesus. All right. So, number one, the church is God's idea, and we can see Jesus talking about that. The church in the original language, it's ekklesia, and it literally means out. It means to be called out from and called to something. So if you're in the church, that means if you're a part of the church, that means you've been called out of darkness. We're not meant to go back there. You've been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And we're members together as a church. We're a body. And Peter, he got a hold of that revelation when Jesus was talking to him and using his name as a play on words and saying, Peter, little rock, upon this rock I'll build my church. Later on, he teaches the church, I think in 1 Peter, and he describes all of us now as living stones. That's where he got that revelation from when Jesus told him. Now he says to us as the church, we're all living stones and we're fitly framed together. We're not supposed to be a rabble, like just stones all over the place. We come together and we're fitly framed together in an excellent way. Amen? And in that habitation, that building with living stones, abides the Holy Spirit. So number two, and this is really important, he wants you to love the church. And there's a promise in Psalms 92. He says, if you'll be planted in the house of the Lord, you'll flourish in the courts of our God. That's Psalms 92:13. And I've seen the evidence of that. I've seen our family as a child flourishing as we were planted in the house of the Lord. I saw the enemy come against our local church, church split, craziness, our family get offended and hurt, leave church with the initial intention of finding another church. The months go by, the years go by, and then all of a sudden hell hits our family. We're not in church anymore. 10 years goes by, and man, I ended up really messed up. And our family was really messed up, but now we're back in church. God brought healing. We went back into prayer. And now all of our family's back in church serving God together. And now we're watching the flourishing in our family. And I attribute that to this promise in Psalms 92:13. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. You guys with me? Hebrews 10:23. Says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Chelsea and I love coming, and our team, we love coming to churches because we get to stir things up to help, and we stir one another up. And this is what church is all about. We consider one another, we love one another, and we stir one another up unto good works. We're not saved by good works, and I talked about this last night, but we are saved to do good works. And in fact, there are good works that have been preordained, that have been that God has thought about. There's a destiny on your life that God wants you to step into, and there's some amazing good works that he wants you to do for his glory. And we're to stir one another up unto good works. And then verse 25, this is really important. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Don't forsake that. Don't fall into deception. Don't do what our family did. Spiritual suicide. Praise God that we were saved just in time and we were brought back into church life again and into Christianity. But it really is spiritual suicide to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as in the matter of some, but instead we exhort one another, and so much more as you see in the day approaching. We've been talking about that, the importance of Isaiah 60. It talks about the deep darkness that's upon the people and upon the world, and so much more today. We need to stay together. We need to be planted. We need to encourage one another, love the local church, and grow together, and let's reach out to this community. And let's really be a city on a hill together in this community, in this region, in this state, in this nation. Amen? And finally, number three, find your place. Find your place. And I want to give you that scripture that I mentioned before, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to go from verse 1, but my main point you'll find in verse 5. And it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to living stones. This is Peter writing this, and here is describing us as living stones. Describing Jesus as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God as precious. And now he talks to us. He says, and you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's what we've been doing. Been coming together, living stones, fitly framed together, everyone taking their place, their rightful place in the house of the God, in the house of God, and flourishing together. This is the intent of the church. This is what Jesus intended for us. And verse 19 says an interesting thing. It says, Ephesians 2:19 describes us as being members. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So there's a certain level of loyalty to membership. If you become a member, it's like a next level. You're not just attending and turning up every now and then, but it's like, no, I value the church so much. I love Jesus so much. I want to be fitly framed. I don't just want to be this loose piece of living stone that's over here but not connected to anybody else. I want to be a member of the household of God. And there's a level of discipline to that, and there's a level of loyalty, and you want to contribute and you want to be a part of it. And so I'm going to give you three final points. I call it the ABC of being planted in the house of God. The ABC, the keys to be planted and the keys to flourish in the house of God according to the Bible. And I feel like this message really supports, foundationally, really supports what we've been going after the last 2 days. The outreach, being the light, arising and shining, going out into the community. In Matthew 28, it says, go into all the world and teach all nations. Everyone say, teach all nations. So that's just not a matter of getting someone to say a prayer, but we want to disciple them, and the local church is so important for that. So we help lead them to Jesus. They have an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with the Holy Spirit, but we don't want to leave them as babies and not be able to feed them. And so we need the local church. We need one another. We bring them into the local church to see them planted and to see them flourishing. So the ABC, A stands for attend. To be planted in the house of God is to at least attend. That's the first part. So we attend church. We're a part of it. Right now, you're attending. You're fulfilling the A, part of the ABC of being planted in the house of God. It's great that you're here. Some of you, it's been a battle to get here, and the enemy tries to stop you from coming, and you feel down and depressed. Some of you have struggled with things, and it's like, I don't want to go, but you push through, and I want to say, well done. Well done. It's good that you're here. It's good to be in the house of God. So A is attend. B is belong. This is another level again. We're not just attending, but we're belonging. For some of us, the idea of, I know for me, when I first started going to church, it was like I was cool sitting at the back and not, and kind of, I knew when we were about to finish and I knew when to leave, so I didn't have to talk to too many people. Because I come out of the nightclub scene, and for me to talk to people, I needed to be on drugs. Because I was actually pretty depressed behind the scenes. And so I needed to be on something to be happy. And in the church, everyone was so happy and they weren't on anything. And I'm like, this is freaking me out. So I knew I loved it, but I didn't want to hang around and talk to people. So I would go. So I was just attending. But then I pushed through that. I decided to go to a small group, a Bible study group. And that's when I really started to grow, because I plugged in and started to belong and started to form relationships. And I had accountability partners and people that were specifically praying for me and helping me. And so attending and belonging is another level again. I want to encourage you to really pray about how you can not only attend but belong to the house of God. And C, this one's really important. C stands for contribute. So A for attend, B for belong, and C for contribute. It's one thing to belong and to have relationships. It's another thing to serve in this beautiful thing called church. To serve and to contribute. And another word for C is commit. Really commit and contribute to the house of God. Honor the house of God. Honor your leaders. Honor your pastors. And be unified. The Bible says that where there's unity, God commands a blessing in Psalms 133. So if you get all of those components that we've talked about over the last 2 or 3 days, you know, that we're not, the church is not just a gathering. We are the church. It's not just inside the four walls. We go out into the community. We reach out. We arise. We shine. We become Jesus. It's Christ in us, in the workplace. Christ in us, in our families, in the shopping centers, on the streets. Friendship evangelism, street ministry, marketplace ministry. We want it all. It's not either or. It's both and more. Amen? And then we get a hold of this as well, the local church, and we're all working together. We love the church. We're working together in unity. We're esteeming others higher than ourselves, and we're helping build others up, and we're seeing young ones come in off the streets, new people. We're getting around them. We're inviting them to the small groups, the life groups, getting them connected into youth group, whatever it may be, to help them be planted, help them to not only attend but belong, and also then move into that level where we're also, we're fully in, we're members, we're contributing, we're We're committed. We're like, yes, Jesus, I love your house. I seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And a part of that is honoring the church and loving the church. Does that sound all right? Awesome. All right, I want to ask everyone to stand to their feet. I think it might be good to finish on some worship together. And then maybe we can just open up the altar if anyone wants prayer. And I think it might be good just to remind you, for parents too, if you just want to sign your kids out. I've gone a little bit over time. But Chelsea and I and the team, we'd love to pray for some people. If you need prayer for anything, maybe you've heard words of knowledge called out and you're thinking, I wasn't called out. You don't need to be called out to be healed. You can just come forward and we can pray for you, whatever it is. Maybe you just want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you missed out on the last 2 days. You're here today and you're like, man, I want some of that. I want to get plugged in. And we were singing about the red hot. So just come forward. We love it. Maybe you want, like, I want some of that red hot. You want some of that fire. So just come forward. We love to pray for you. And so be blessed. We might sing this last song together. And then if you, anyone that wants to come forward while we're singing this song, and our team will pray for you. And I just want to say thanks for having us again. So cool to be back here a second year. Love you guys heaps. Be blessed.